Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday afternoon. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Couple of things happening because it is Friday. I am wearing red. R-E-D. Remember everyone deployed. I ask everybody on Friday, if you think about it, wear something red. This was started by a couple of Marine moms a few years back, and its purpose is really simple, really straightforward. It is exactly what it says. Remember everyone deployed. So you wear something red, and it just reminds people we've got just wonderful men and women serving all over the world for us. And today I happen to be wearing a red Stanford University t-shirt. I've got, I always have a selection of bracelets from my pal Emily Morrissey. I'm wearing I Stand With Israel, my Am Yisrael Chai, my Julia Katz bracelet, and I've got a green St. Patrick's Day bracelet on as well. So I'm set. And, well, you know, it wouldn't be Friday if I wasn't wearing my Peppa Pig hat, because nothing says Friday like a little dose of Peppa Pig. We've got a lot to talk about. Now, the judge in Georgia, it's so funny to me. It really, honest to goodness, is. It is so funny to me to watch how the left spins things. The legacy news media hacks, man, they pick up on a story and they just go full bore trying to figure out how you can take a big pile of you know what and somehow package it nicely. How can you do that? Well, you really can't. The judge in Georgia said, all right, technically speaking, I don't know that there's really a conflict of interest with you, District Attorney Fannie Willis, and you, Special Prosecutor Midnight Booty Call. We don't know. I mean, I can't. But, man, it sure looks like it. And courts are really big on not looking like there's a conflict of interest, that there's some appearance of impropriety. They don't like that. So this was a very diplomatic way for that judge to say, hey, you guys got caught. You guys got caught. You got your hand in the cookie jar, and you know, so here's the choice. One of you has to go, right? This judge, I thought, really bent over backwards to be so nice, overly nice, and offer an awful lot of respect that I'm not sure was earned to these two characters. But he said, the case is going to go forward. These charges against President Trump, they can go forward, although he kicked, what was it, six of them to the curb. Well, they can go forward, but one of you has to go. Now, I know there are a lot of people saying, why didn't the judge just kick everything out? Because he's got elections to deal with. I mean, I hate to tell you that. And I know there are people who believe that the President of the United States has the right to just dismiss any judge anywhere, and he doesn't. I wish that were the case, and then I think, no, I don't wish that were the case, because you and I both know. Joe Biden, any of these other left-wing hacks, man, they'd be getting rid of whatever judge they did not like. So just, I would say, take a deep breath. Understand how this is playing out and what is really happening. And despite the hyperbolic pontification from the leftists, this is not a victory for them, nor is it a major defeat for Donald Trump. This is what it is. And if we were living in a time where reporters and journalists engaged in reporting and journalism, you would know that. But we're not, so you don't. And so I am providing you with the information that you need, the honest, up-close analysis. That's what it is. I wanted to reflect on the chat we had yesterday with Governor Glenn Youngkin. And if you missed that, well, just go to WRBA.com. It's up there. You can take a listen to it, and you should. Because as I was listening to Governor Youngkin, I thought, I would love Governor Youngkin in the White House. I don't know about you. I would love Glenn Youngkin as president someday. And not now, because I'm all on board with Donald Trump, and as I think most of us are. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, we've got Donald Trump, President Trump, if he wins, and fingers crossed and prayers to God that he wins in November. But it's going to be 4 years, right? He's not going to be able to, he's not running for re-election or anything like that. So we've got to have somebody waiting. Now, there's been a lot of talk about vice president. And we've all talked about Kristi Noem, right, out of South Dakota. Is it South Dakota or North Dakota? It's one of those Dakotas. You know, it's a Dakota, south, north, east, west, whatever, one of those places. And she is an absolutely a beautiful candidate. I mean, she really is. She, I'm a terrible person for pointing this out. She happens to be an incredibly attractive woman. Got news for you. That doesn't hurt. She happens to be a brilliant woman. That doesn't hurt. She is the governor of a state. She was elected. She's doing a good job. That doesn't hurt. Does she bring anything to the ticket? Well, how many electoral votes do we have in the Dakotas? Exactly. Is there going to be a mass movement to support Donald Trump that's going to put him over the edge with that? No. Can she handle herself with the media? Oh, I think so. Is there a downside to her? I don't see one. I don't see a downside. So I'm going to put her in the column of, hey, that's a pretty good candidate. You've got Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina. Again, brilliant guy. Handsome. Photogenic. I mean, those, I know we're not supposed to pay attention to those things. We're not. We're, oh, I got news for you. People like people that they think are handsome, that they think are pretty, that they are attractive. And we can pretend all we want that that doesn't factor into it, but I got news for you, it does. Tim Scott, brilliant guy. Elected in South Carolina, right? Yeah. Does he bring South Carolina with him for Donald Trump? I'd say he absolutely delivers votes, but I think South Carolina is going to be in the Trump camp anyway. Anything that's negative about Tim Scott? I can't think of anything, so I'm going to put him in the positive category. And then I look at Glenn Youngkin, and I look at the long play. Glenn Youngkin, unlike other governors, is in a really bizarre, unique situation. He can't succeed himself, as you know. He's perhaps developed a taste for politics and public service. I don't think that's necessarily bad. He certainly doesn't need money. That's a lot like Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump's got a couple of billion. Glenn Youngkin has a half a billion. Neither one of them ever actually has to go to work again in their life in terms of money. So the influence peddling that we see on a regular basis in D.C., well, that's kind of off the table now, isn't it? I think that's a good thing. Glenn Youngkin is an attractive, photogenic gentleman. Again, I know we're not supposed to talk about things, but I got news for you. These are things that people take notice of. He is a brilliant dude. Easy to talk to. Knows the issues. And there's a benefit I will point out. If Glenn Youngkin is president of the United States, he might very well help Virginia go in the Trump camp. That could be a biggie. That could be very, very useful. The other thing that's a real biggie, as far as I'm concerned, if Glenn Youngkin becomes vice president of the United States, Winsome Earl Sears becomes governor of Virginia. And she would be able to succeed herself because she would be simply replacing Governor Youngkin as he moves to the Naval Observatory, right? There is at Blair House, which I don't know, wherever they keep the vice president when he's not doing vice presidential stuff. So we would have Governor Winsome Earl Sears have the opportunity to get some traction as the governor and then run again. I got news for you. That would be fantastic. That could really help turn Virginia. Those Senate seats that Republicans have just sort of, oh, we've written them all, we can't do it, it's Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, blah, blah. I got news for you. Everything goes into play. Everything. Congressional seats. Everything. So I'm just putting that out there. Not that anybody is listening to me for that sort of advice. President Trump has not called to ask me my particular choice for vice president, but I just wanted to lay that out there for you, okay? That's all I'm going to say, and there you go. Hey, GalaxyCon is in town, as you know. It starts tonight, right? Yeah, it starts today, actually. Jerem was down there a little bit earlier. They were sending me some pictures. I guess there's already people. It's going to be great. My goal is to head down there tomorrow. Look, Bill Shatner said, hey, drop on by. So I'm going to drop on by. Now, I personally would love to get a photo with Bill Shatner. I really would. I think that would be just one of the coolest things in the world. Again, I'm not one of those Star Trek people. I don't care about Star Trek. I mean, that's silly. But T.J. Hooker and Denny Crane. That counts. So anyway, I think I may do that. I'm going to see if I, tomorrow morning I got to do the car show in the garage with Stan Andruska. I always help him out. But man, I think I'm going to go down there and, just catch up with Bill Shatner. That'll be fun. All right. Lots of great stuff, including Dr. Dave Brad on the real economic numbers straight ahead. It is 314 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Denny Crane.
You remember when Barney Miller wrote that song? You remember that. And he wrote it. This is the funniest part. He wrote it for Bill Shatner as he was starring in Boston Legal. I mean, people don't know these things. So I do my best to just try and keep people up to speed on all of the very, very important matters of the day. And I almost said I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It's Friday. The weather has really held out all day. I don't know where these showers are, these thunderstorms we were supposed to fear all day. They didn't show up, which is great. We got some great stuff happening here. I do have to tell you, we are hopefully going to be working with this great company called Hercules Fencing because they were just out here today. And I don't want my neighbors to get upset. We're not fencing off the compound here. We're not. But we've got the trash cans, and we've got the generator from ELS, and we got the tanks and all that. So what we're looking to do, I said to Chase, who was the guy who came out, he said, well, you're looking for a fence. I said, nope, not looking for a fence, Chase. I am looking for fencing. I want some nice decorative way to hide all this other ugly stuff. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be working with them really, really soon, which I think is going to be very exciting, just make the place look even better. And I had a chance. Tara came out with him. Tara's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She was the lady that I spoke with over at Hercules to begin with, and she came out. Her boyfriend is a big Jeff Katz fan. I think she is as well, but he definitely. So I just wanted to say thank you to them for all of the support, and to Chase from Hercules for coming out and helping us out. I was so tempted to say, Herc, Herc, but I didn't. I controlled myself, and that might be something we hear at GalaxyCon this weekend. Dr. Dave Brad is going to be along in just a couple of moments. We had more inflation numbers come out, and for the life of me, I cannot quite figure out if we do or do not have a handle on inflation, right? I mean, do we or don't we? I've got the White House and the White House sycophants in the legacy news media rooms around America. Oh, that's great. This is 3.1 pie. Okay. Is that good or bad? Well, I think it's bad. Because I'm looking at the actual increase in things for the entire time that Joe Biden's been in office. See, they would have us believe that inflation somehow, some way exists in a vacuum. It's up 3.4%. Okay. Now you're thinking, man, that's 3 pennies off a dollar. I'd rather not spend that, but that's not a big deal, is it? Well, it is, because it's not just 3.4% today. It's 3.4% on top of the 3.4% that happened the month before and the 3.4%. So things that you and I usually have to purchase, groceries overall are up since Joe Biden has been in office about 20%. That's a gigantic increase. And all of this other stuff that factors into it, everything is up and up and up. But that's the one that hits me. 20% increase in groceries in the last 3 years? We ought to, you know, Jerm, I'm just thinking, I mentioned groceries. We should get Tom on. My buddy Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. Every time I've got a question on that sort of stuff, Tom comes right to the lectern. You know, he takes his place. So, yeah, we ought to reach out to him, see how it's impacting him and what the effects are. But that's what I saw this morning, 20% on groceries. So Dr. Dave Brad hopefully will have some insight that really gets that all done for us. Don't forget, next week is Politics and Pints, and you know it's presented by our friends at Chronic Care of Richmond, and it is sold out, but I just felt like mentioning it. I mean, it's been, what, 10 and a half minutes since we mentioned it, and we used to have to mention it every 7.5, but so there you go. But it's going to be great fun. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. Hopefully you got your tickets, you're ready to go, and I do want to remind you that Chronic Care of Richmond actually is the folks, great folks, who give us our text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Now, I do have a pair of tickets for Rain. It's a tribute to the Beatles at Chesterfield After Hours. I'm going to give that away. Jerm, make a note of it so we, meaning me, don't forget. 5:20 this afternoon is when we'll give those tickets out. Dr. Dave Brad joins me moments from now. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. It is actually beautiful. I know we keep hearing about this, the rain that's coming, but man, right about now, I got clear skies. It's 75. There's a nice light breeze. All is right in the world, with one exception. The cost of everything is outrageous, and I just don't see it getting fixed anytime soon. I was looking this morning at inflation numbers and the real inflation numbers. And what I saw, and I'm going to confirm this with Dr. Dave Brat in a moment, it was, well, let me see what it was. I think it was 19.5% the groceries are up since Joe Biden took office. So, I mean, I keep hearing, well, inflation's at 3.4%, but it looks like it's compounding. Dr. Dave Brat, who, you know, served our area as a member of Congress, as a college professor at Rand.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Randolph Macon has been at Liberty University, was the dean of the business school, is the vice provost now for engagement and all sorts of cool things. But he's not here doing any of that, just so we're all clear. He's here on behalf of himself, a distinguished economics professor and somebody who understands this. And if you're not following him on Getter, Brad Economics, man, you got to check that out. Dr. Dave Brat, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, Jeff, I hate to ruin your fair skies, but fire away.
Okay. This is why we have you on Friday. Everybody who's just getting a little pep in their step and a smile, man, you can bring them right back to
I'm going to ruin it. Right.
All right, so I heard earlier this week inflation was 3.4, 3.1%, something like that, which on its face doesn't sound great, but this is not just a standalone number, correct?
Right. Yeah. Right. No, right. It did pop up a little, nothing major, but I'll explain what is major. But, it went from monthly, 0.3 up to 0.4 up. So you say, well, what's that? Well, just take 0.4 and multiply it by 12 months, and, the 0.4 becomes 4.8. So close to, if it continues going up, we'll be back at 5% inflation if that trend continues. And the government spending, Biden has a $7 trillion government budget proposal 2 days ago on the front page of every newspaper in the country with what's in it, et cetera. That's a lot of money. And then you add the multiplier to that, and you double it. And so that spending, it will cause more inflation. And then a day ago, the producer price index came out. So the CPI, the consumer price index, is what you pay for your basket of bacon and everything that's way up.
Okay.
But the producer price index, they're paying for all the stuff they need to make cars and all that. And that went up significantly. And so that's at the 5 or 6 percent right now. And so none of that sounds too bad, but the way you got to picture this thing is kind of like a ladder. So at first you went up 9 steps, right, on the ladder of inflation. You had 9% inflation way back a couple years ago.
Okay.
Right? And then inflation goes down to 4. But you don't go down 4 steps, you go take the 9 steps and then you go up another 4 steps. And then the next year it's another 4%. So you don't go down 4, you go up higher on the ladder. So it's 9 plus 4 plus 4, right. And then now say it's 3. Right. Well, so it's going down, right? No, you just went up the ladder 3 more steps. You're at the top of a very tall ladder, and it's not only 20% for bacon and milk. It's the purchasing power of every dollar in your wallet is you've lost 20% of your purchasing power. Right. That's why the American people are upset. That's the big deal. This thing is cumulative. Meaning every additional point of inflation you get adds to your already 20% losses. And you lose 20% on anything that's in your savings account or retirement account. Because if you pull that money out, that old money used to buy, eggs at the old prices.
Yep.
Now you got to take the old money out and buy eggs and bacon at the new high prices. So you just lost 20% of your purchasing power. And the experts don't seem to be able to figure out why the American people are a bit agitated. Well, that's why.
All right, before we move on, you have used that ladder analogy before, haven't you? I guarantee you there are thousands of folks who had you for econ at some point, because that is the clearest example. Honest to goodness, Dave, I've never heard it explained like that.
And good.
Man, that is spot on. Wow.
Yeah, well, I've done the cumulative with the numbers, but I just made up the ladder right here on the Jeff Katz show. So, you know, I want some property rights to that thing.
They are all yours, my friend. All right, well, I'll tell you what. So we, you know, if we put the shopping cart down at the bottom of the ladder, the first step, man, you get everything. But you keep getting further and further away. All of a sudden, that is a much different looking shopping cart.
Yep.
Now, when you mentioned the producer price index, you said that's up 5 or 6%.
Yeah, so that's not 3 or 4. That's 5, right?
Yeah.
That's different, right?
So who are these, quote, producers? What are they making?
Oh, it's just like the CPI. It's just a market basket, except of consumer goods. It's all the producers across the country, just their input prices, right? So they need...
Right.
You know, if you're working out making General Motors cars, you need metal and rubber and plastics and labor and all that. So they take a market basket of those producer prices, the inputs to make the good, and those have gone up more than the CPI. And so the bad news there is that's the beginning of your pipeline. So now they're going to pass those prices on later in the final price of their product.
Ugh.
And so that's going to cause what most people consider inflation, right? The CPI, consumer market basket that you go out and, you know, buy the car, and it's going to have higher prices built into it.
Wow. Let me pass along a couple of numbers and remind everybody, Dr. Dave Brad is joining us. Dave is not here on behalf of Liberty University. He's here on behalf of a lifetime of studying economics, understanding economics, Brad economics over on Getter. So here are a couple of numbers, Dave, I've shared with my listeners, and I want to just throw them out at you. The analysis says that since Joe Biden took office in January 2021, prices are up overall 19%, which means the average household, just regular folks like us, we are now spending more than $12,000 extra just to make ends meet, just to have what we had the year before.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's why on the ladder, 9 + 4 + 3 + 3 is the 19.
Yep.
So that's how you got to the 19.
Wow.
Right? We ran inflation of 9 and then 4 and then roughly 3 and 3, and now it's ticking up a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're out 19%, right? And it's not going down, and there's no signs of it going, of prices going down. Even if inflation went down instead of up, your prices you're paying are still going up.
Right. Electricity bills, by the way, I just want to throw this out there. They're up
28.4%.
28.4% since this guy shuffled into the Oval Office.
Yeah. And I'll just throw in, out at Brad Economics on Get or whatever, the most important number at CBO that's never reported by anyone is the productivity numbers. And our productivity for the rest of this decade is going to be only 1.9%. But then they list it out for the next two decades at only 1.5% for the next 25 years. We're going to grow at 1.5% GDP growth because that's what productivity is.
Wow.
Right? So that's the future of the country. So when people say the economy is doing good, no, it's not. The economy is your productivity, right? And so the government could just take a bunch of money in debt, go into debt, run $2.5 trillion deficits, throw it at the government spending numbers, and then they call that growth. That is not economic growth. And all these government investments, if they were really investments, like the left says, we'd be growing like crazy, right? And China would be the fastest growing country in the world because they're a communist economy.
Right.
And Russia, by now, would be the richest country in the world. But they went bankrupt because they have too much government spending. And China now is cracking up because they have too much government spending. And now we have too much government spending. And the thing you can't cheat is all these green initiatives, which were supposed to cause growth.
Mm-hmm.
They're built into the CEO numbers. All the modern monetary policy theory that says there's no end to spending, just spend away and it'll help growth. That hasn't changed any of the CBO forecasts. So someone's lying to you. And I don't think it's the boring people at CBO. They're just putting together the models and putting them down in the charts, right?
Well, now, Dave, a couple of weeks back, I shared with you, I was at this event for the Richmond Chamber RVA, and the president of the Richmond Fed was there, man. And he said, I mean, he told us, hey, just like an airplane, we're coming in for a nice, soft, might be a little bumpy over here, but boy, we're on track. Now, the way this is working out, I hate the analogy, man, but it sounds like we're just dropping right out of the sky, and good luck to everybody.
Well, we would be, right? I mean, that the Fed kept the interest rate at 0% for a decade.
Yeah.
So they helped construct a soft landing, but now they're trimming money a little bit, and they're actually not. If you go look at the total liquidity out there, it's not really, M2 is going down a little bit, but whatever. That's a complex thing. But that's now been offset by government spending and deficit spending, because it's the $2.5 trillion out of the $7 trillion that we're borrowing, right? And then the Fed prints the money, and then they say, hey, look, it's a soft landing. Well, of course, if you steal from your kid's piggy bank and cram it over into government spending, and you're calling that a soft landing, wait till you see the kid's future. They can't buy houses right now, right? The whole young generation, they can't buy houses. They can't buy anything they want to do. They're all, it's a disaster. The credit card defaults are going up. The interest rates on credit cards are 20%. Seniors, half of seniors over, 55, 65, 75, don't have any savings account. They don't have a retirement account. And so it's a soft landing for the economy. Right, and the stock market is what they're really talking about. But you go ask the average American in small business how they're doing; they're not feeling any soft landing. They're getting hit.
Yeah. Well, here's another example of this, Dave. You mentioned the seniors that don't have a savings account; they don't have a retirement account.
Right.
Saw a story this week. Even those who do, there has been a massive run, if you will, on the 401k accounts. People are taking out money that should be there, at least in theory, growing for them when they do retire. They're taking it out now just to pay the bills.
Right, and that's just I think it's a third of people have raided their retirement accounts, and the Fed has the gall to say this is a soft landing. Well, it's a soft landing because you don't have a retirement anymore. You had to take money out of your savings in retirement to pay for food right now.
Right.
And so consumption's, stays flat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And GDP growth was actually up, 3% because the government was spending a ton.
Wow.
But it's all artificial, and that's why that productivity number, and by the way, that's GDP per capita is the best measure for your welfare, right? In economics, we call that welfare economics.
Okay.
And so that is correlated. GDP per capita is correlated with the number of years you live, your caloric intake, the education, political rights, civil liberties, all the good stuff is correlated with income per person, which is productivity. And that looks like it's going to be 1.5% growth. It used to be 5% back in the 80s under Reagan and whatever, then 3 and then 2 and then 1. And in government productivity, you can't even Google it and find it because they don't want you to find it. But it's in the ballpark of 0.5% or 0%.
Wow.
And so that's now we're plowing all of our money into 0% investments. So they're just brilliant.
It is, oh, my God. Now, if we're going to be at 1.5% productivity growth for decades, right? Would you say 20 years or whatever?
Yep.
What about the other nations? I mean, is China in that situation? What about France or New Zealand? Has anybody else got their act together?
No, no one's got their act together. The Europe is probably in a recession right now. Germany, France, etc.
Okay.
China is cracking up. They'll be just like Japan. Mm. They'll have a lost decade. You can make smart, good guesses for a decade or so, right? But then the crony capitalism kicks in, like all their ghost cities and the apartment buildings.
Yeah.
So they were building bullet trains and high-rise condos and asphalt stuff, high-speed bullet trains. Well, at first, that's great. That's all productive. But they just kept doing the same thing over and over. So they built too much of it.
Yep.
And a communist system is not run on a price system, so they don't have good indicators. And if you go tell Xi, hey, Xi, you built too many ghost cities, well, then they get rid of you. You get a long vacation to a place with no electricity.
That's right. That's right. You get to visit one of the ghost cities. That's exactly problem, man. And you remember a couple years back when one guy, what did he ask a question? The next thing you know, they're literally on the stage in front of 1,000 people.
Them. Right. Yeah. Right.
Holy
right.
moly, man. It's like, all right, no.
Yeah. Well, you got to go at that speech. That was Xi about 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And he had 3 points in that speech. One was no more economic reform.
Right.
And then number two, we're going full on Marxist-Leninist. That means no God, no human rights, no ideas, right? Just pure materialism. And then three, no more China talk, no more peace and harmony. We're on a war footing. When the leader tells you that's the 3 points he made in that speech in front of the entire CCP, and they dragged out the senior members and humiliated them in public.
Yeah.
So, swell guy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it is disturbing. And again, for those of us who have kids, right? I mean, I kind of joke about this, but I'm really serious. I've lived a pretty good life. I'm happy with things. I'm not ready to go today.
Yep.
But, you know, I've had a chance. My heart just breaks, Dave, for your kids and my kids because they're in a world of hurt.
Yep. No, that's the serious point. That productivity number is out for 30 years in the future at the same low rate of growth. And so that cannot be shocked. There's no tricks left in the bag. We've been using all of the tricks,
right?
We've been using this green energy stuff, and now it turns out the EVs are problematic, and Toyota of Toyota said that.
That's right.
And you can just go down the list, and then we're out of bullets. And in the wars, Ukraine has been a disaster. We've been lied to on that thing.
Yep.
And China's watching this, by the way, right? It's a matter of whether they have enough money.
That's right.
And now NVIDIA, you know, it's the stock that's propping up the whole market. And that, of course, is in Taiwan.
Right.
And the chips and all that. So China's got a double win. Not only do they get Taiwan back, they get chips and high-tech competitiveness if they decide to take that over. And so we're in a quagmire now. We got folks coming in from Haiti.
Yep.
The administration just flew in 130,000 people from Haiti into New York JFK Airport. No one knows any of this stuff.
Yep.
And so it's not the old boring Presbyterian economics I grew up with.
All right, now Dave, I'm going to give you an assignment. That's good. Next week, do you think we can tackle AI and the economy? Because this just I'm not totally versed on that, but it seems like it's going to be a big thing. So we'll put that on the list for next week. Let's go out on a high note, though, Dave. I swear to you, you can do it, right? October the 10th through the 12th, Liberty University, you've got the CEO Expo and people who are in business who want to know about the CEO Summit. They ought to be part of this, man.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, and this year we changed it. This year is September 23 to 25.
Oh, September. Okay.
September 23 to 25. We got the head of Microsoft Teams. We got the head of Merrill Lynch. We got the head of Toyota. We got the head of a bunch of top, you know, world-class CEOs coming to Liberty. And then just go to Bratt Economics on Getter. There's an email there. If you're CEO or C-suite and you want to come visit Liberty and have a great couple days, I think Jeff Katz is going to be visiting us, maybe even broadcasting out of the summit. And so it's a great time, great people, and you learn a ton. And AI, we're all over it.
Okay, so next week, you and I talking about AI and the economy. If you are a CEO, you're in that C-suite, September the 23rd, 24th, 25th at Liberty is going to be the CEO Summit. Dave, I'm going to put all those details up so that the movers and shakers here in Central Virginia get a chance to go to that. I know it's not necessarily a barrel of laughs when we talk about this stuff, but, man, I think the world of you. I love the fact that you're willing to come on and talk about it, and I appreciate it. Say thank you.
I'll give everybody their homework for next week on AI.
Okay.
The leading guy on productivity is out of Northwestern University. His name is Robert Gordon. He's probably on the left, not on the right, so you know I'm not cherry-picking.
Right.
He, when probed about technology and why, what, you know, whether it's going to create massive growth, and this has to AI, you know, it could be something new.
Yeah.
But he said, "Yeah, I see technology everywhere too, except in the data." And so that's the trick with AI. You know, can we Can we handle it, manage it, put it in the firms, and it, will it be widespread across our economy? And my guess is no. And I got a little data for you next week.
Okay. Well, there you go. Listen, love having you here. Think the world of you, as you know. I want you to have
You too, man.
Blessed weekend.
You too, brother.
That is Dave Brat. There's just nobody better. And you know what's really odd is that some people go, how come you have Dave? Dave Brat never has good news. Well, Dave Brat has honest news. And that's what's vital here. I know that so much of this is above me. I mean, I'm just telling you flat out. I don't understand M1 and M6 and this and that. But I hear Dave Brat, that ladder analogy was beautiful. I'm stealing that. I mean, he came up with it, but man, and I will give him credit. But that is exactly what inflation is all about. And how is it hitting us in the pocketbook? I said, I think Germ's on the horn right now, getting Tom Leonard for next week. We'll talk a little bit about how it's hitting the pocketbooks when you go shopping. I don't have to tell you about Politics and Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond because we're all sold out. But I do want to tell you about Chronic Care of Richmond text line, if that's all right, 833-804-1140. Always available to you, 833-804-1140. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRB. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, indeed. Congratulations. We have made it. Self-high fives all the way around. Okay, latest development out of the Georgia fraudulent case against Donald Trump. I'm kind of losing track of all these ridiculous, nonsensical legal actions against the former president because they're not winning in the polls, right? The leftists, and so they've just weaponized the legal system, which is atrocious. It's an absolute abomination. But here's the latest from Georgia. Apparently, Counselor Midnight Booty Call has withdrawn from the case, and that means that Funtime Fannie Willis can continue with her circus performance. So there you go. All right. So that special prosecutor she hired, I think the people in Atlanta, was at Fulton County, spent $650,000 to pay him. The guy's never had a case like this. He's like, hey, you ran a red light. I'm your guy kind of lawyer. And there's nothing wrong with it. Look, if you run a red light, you probably want somebody who knows how to handle that. But you're talking about one of the most complex legal proceedings that you can imagine. RICO on the federal level, man, you have teams inside the U.S. Attorney's office, and that's basically all they do. That's how complex it is at the federal level. Now, Georgia has their own version of it, but as I understand, and again, I'm not a practitioner of the dark arts, so I don't fully understand all of the legal stuff, but from what I understand, it's essentially the same as the federal statute, but it's enforced on a state level. So how do you take the guy who's like, I don't know. I mean, look, my frame of reference for attorneys now is Saul Goodman. You better call Saul. Brilliant lawyer, right? Slippin' Jimmy. But I don't know. Is he the guy for the RICO thing? But his main qualification there in Fulton County, Georgia, was that he and Funtime Fanny, they had a thing going on. So anyway, long story short, so he's stepping aside. He will not have to return any money, of course. He is definitely the better for this. I don't know how is he married? He got an ex-wife? I don't know. There's going to be some other stuff that probably falls out from that whole thing. But that's where we are with that. Alvin Bragg, the make-pretend prosecutor in Manhattan, he now apparently is saying that they can't get to trial, for another month? So that's kind of falling apart. All this nonsense is in the process of being exposed. And what the left is trying to do is to keep it as under wraps as possible because I think they now understand they're not going to get convictions, are they? And even if let's say for the sake of argument, they do get a conviction. You know what that's going to do? That's going to increase the support for Donald Trump. It really is. Do you remember the mugshot? Right? They brought the former president in to have a mugshot and fingerprint, and it was designed specifically to embarrass him, humiliate him, impugn him. And do you see what happened? Do you see what has happened? T-shirts with that mugshot, you can't keep them in stock. It's like the best-selling T-shirt in history. Donald Trump knew that was going to happen. And for all of you folks, I don't like that. I don't like him. I don't care anymore. Really, my patience for people who are still wavering on the Trump-Biden-Biden-Trump situation, it is just rapidly disappearing. Rapidly disappearing. I will give you the benefit of the doubt always. I try to anyway. And I've had the conversation with many people, people whose opinions I value. People who are friends and family. Oh, gosh, Jeff, I can't get over the mean tweets. It's still about mean tweets. When did he get kicked off of Twitter? Is that not like 3-4 years ago? So if you don't want to read his, quote, mean tweets, well, you don't have to. You would have to go to Truth Social. That's the only place he is. So I'm just kind of done with the mean tweet stuff. Here's the other thing. And I feel compelled to share this with you. I was reading an article this morning, and it was talking about some of the things that Donald Trump said in the past. And what was it? Entertainment Tonight? Is that the one that, I don't know, it was one of those Hollywood entertainment shows with a collection of vacuous, empty-headed nitwits. And he was, I don't know, he was talking to one of the empty-headed nitwits, and he had a really off-color, inappropriate comment. Oh, right, yeah, Billy Bush. That's what it was. He's related to the Bushes of the Bushes, right? Yeah, I think he's related. I don't know. But yeah, he was talking to him, oh, you know, I do this, and blah, blah. They laughed. Now, I've had people, again, whose opinions I respect, say, Jeff, would you want somebody saying that to your daughter? And the answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. Would you be happy if your son said that to one of his friends? No. Well, then how can you support Donald Trump? Well, it's actually pretty easy. If I were choosing someone at a point in time to date my daughter and he was saying something like that, I'd have a problem. If I were selecting someone to give advice to my sons at a certain age about how you interact with women, I would have a problem with that. But that's not what we're doing here. And I think there has to be a realization that many times people say things that can seem off the wall, they can be offensive, they can be insulting. Locker room talk is locker room talk. And I have the experience, obviously, as being a guy. Now, I know in 2024 that it doesn't like mean anything, right? I could just as easily, I suppose, say, oh, no, I'm a woman. I'll be sitting over here taking notes on everything you ladies have to say. But I have the experience from the guys' locker room. I got news for you. There's a lot of really piggish things that are said. And you know what I've heard from women? And this has just blown me away. Women who have reached out to me and said, oh, you got no idea, dude. You have no idea, none, about the things that women say to women in locker rooms. So if this were yesterday and Donald Trump were asking you about how your daughter should go about her dating life, that'd be a problem. But we are at a point where you and I, as people, as human beings, perhaps even people of faith, where you forgive people, you give people an opportunity to redeem themselves, then we need to get past that. And it is as simple as that. We need to get past that. If that's where you are stuck, then I will say to you, you've got to move on. You've just got to move on. It might be that you say, well, I still don't like that. And I will agree with you. I don't like it either. But number one, in the past, number two, we have a nation to save. That has to be the bigger issue. It can't be mean tweets. It can't be a comment that somebody made. It can't be the fact you don't like his hair. People say, well, I would vote for him, but I don't like his hair. Please. The future of the United States of America hangs in the balance. You got to pull it together. You've got to pull it together and see what's really going on. See who's really doing these things to us. Who's doing their best to crash America. And if you're a good person and you find it in your heart to forgive President Trump for things he may have said that you didn't like or tweets you didn't like or his hairstyle. But you got to work together to save this country. It is 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Well, he was no Barney Miller, but he wasn't a bad cop, if you ask me. I am going tomorrow. I'm going to go and meet Bill Shatner. No, come on. The guy said to me, come on down and come on down. So I thought, well, okay. It's GalaxyCon is in town. Now, here's the thing. I am not, I have to share this. Some people believe I am not a science fiction person. I just never have been. Now, I watched Star Trek, and I thought it was pretty cool what I saw and the Tribbles and the whole bit. But that was just never my thing. And then I'm looking at some of the folks who are coming in for GalaxyCon. I didn't realize this, Germ, and it's on me. There are a lot of my old cronies from the wrestling world, so that's kind of cool. I think I'll go down and say hello to just like some old friends. Arn Anderson is going to be there. Arn is a great guy. Just really one of the he's how do I describe Arn properly? He's a good guy. And he was one of those guys that was a real working wrestler, if you know what I mean. I mean, you got Ric Flair, you got Sting. They were headliners around the world. I mean, they were sort of the superstars, which is fine. Great, great performers. But Arn was a guy who every single day went to work, and he had that attitude. And he still does. And so this is why when we lived in Charlotte, we lived not too far away from Flair and Anderson and a lot of the guys down there. And so we would like run into guys in the Harris Teeter. But he is a solid guy. He is absolutely a solid guy. So if you're looking to hang out with one of the Four Horsemen, Arn Anderson is going to be there. Ric Flair, look, what could I say about Flair, a showstopper? He was great when he was on the show. It's a couple of years back, but great guy. Sabu was going to be there. If you're into really hardcore sort of stuff, the guy who used to be Dolph Ziggler, Nick Namath. Now, Nick is actually, he's a comedian, and it's just so funny. I mean, he's a great athlete, but he's a comedian. So he's going to be there. Who else? A few other folks that I recognize. Trish Stratus, Lex Luger. I mean, there's some big, big names coming in with Barry Windham, another one. Man, wow. Great stuff. Now, that's all the wrestling stuff. Man, they have a whole tattoo section. Did you know that? I hope that Mike Ivey from Journey's End Tattoo Studio is going to be represented because he's like the best out there. Who else is coming in? I want to give you some of these names that, like, if I recognize them, you know that they're big names. And some of them I don't recognize, so I'm going to go right. I do apologize, but I don't have any idea who some of them are. That's okay. Different generation. But again, Bill Shatner and some of these real just parts of how do I describe a problem? I mean, they're parts of television history. They're parts of the movie history. Barry Bostwick, Lou Diamond Phillips, Anthony Michael Hall, Corbin Burnson. Oh, loved him. Loved him. Jaleel White, Urkel, yeah, all right, and the entire Lawrence family, Joey and the other ones. Oh, the guys who were on Blue's Clues. Oh, these guys I know, let me tell you. Edward James Olmos, Richard Dean, and oh, Patrick Warburton, the Tick. All right, I'm going to stop now. I'm just going to tell you that if you would like to go to GalaxyCon this weekend, apparently tomorrow is all sold out already. Boom, all sold out. But Sunday is open, so you got to make sure that if you want to go, I would get your tickets ASAP.
Okay. Hey, we've got some great stuff coming up. You know, my brother from another mother, Stan Andrews, is going to be with us in just a couple of moments. We'll talk a little bit about what is, without question, the best weekend radio show anywhere on God's green earth. And that is In the Garage with Stan Andruski. Oh, you know who else? Gus Fring. Gus Fring. Giancarlo Esposito is his name, but Gus Fring is the character he played on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So it's going to be great stuff there at GalaxyCon. It is 427, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Congratulations, South by Fives all the way around. GalaxyCon is in town today and tomorrow and Sunday. So if you you want to get out there and take advantage of the opportunity, there's some really, really cool people that are going to be there. I am hoping that I'll be able to get out there tomorrow. I mean, Bill Shatner was on the show and actually invited me to come and drop by. So I'm trying to see. There he is. Okay, William Shatner. We'll see what time he's going to be there. And yeah, he's there today and tomorrow. So you want to definitely get down and check him out if you get the opportunity. Now, something else you want to check out if you get the opportunity, of course, the best weekend radio show anywhere, In the Garage with Stan Andruski, which, not surprisingly, stars Stan Andruski. And I'm happy to say that he is joining us, my brother from another mother. Stan, good afternoon.
Jeff Katz, to what do I owe the honor of a phone call from you on a beautiful Friday afternoon when I could be on my boat, mind you, but I decided to answer the phone?
I appreciate that, but B, I've really got to question your judgment that you chose me over a boat, man. I love you, but boy, oh boy.
Pretty sure the water would be a little chilly.
A little bit. Well, we'll work towards a little warmer as we roll into the real spring and the real summer. It's great to hear your voice, and you got to be excited, I would think, about sitting down tomorrow, talking a little bit about cars and where we are and where we're going and how we keep this stuff on the road.
Yeah, I mean, what a opportunity to be able to partner with you and WRVA and be able to do something to where we can serve the community and give back, really. Certified Auto Repair is blown out. We have more cars than we have people. So still hiring. If you're listening out there, you're a technician, our service advisor that's interested, we're always looking to hire. With that being said, it's the business part of this is great, but giving back is the better part, as I said, and I love every Saturday. You know, you said the star of the show, and I'm pretty sure that would require me to actually be a star. I'm just a mechanic, bro. Like, that's what I do. I fix cars. So I think you're pushing it with the star thing. Maybe just like the person who sits here and answers questions. But I do absolutely love being able to spend some time with you and talk. So with that being said, one thing that I continually, we get so many questions, even during the week, about maintenance and oil changes. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know that I'm not a big advocate for 10,000-mile oil changes just because they're simply getting you out of warranty and the rest is on us. Right. The rest is basically we pay for it when the engine fails. We pay for it when it gets to 60,000 miles and never makes it. So please, guys, if you're listening, I promise you whatever you're being told about the 10,000-mile oil changes does not exist. It just don't do it. And then the second thing is you'll notice, I don't know if you heard it out, but isn't this great? I think Toyota and Honda both decided to start extending coverages on their maintenance to like 25,000 or 30,000 miles now. Isn't that great? What do you think the problem might be with them extending that? I mean, you're getting maintenance for free, right?
Free. I mean, I get concerned when anybody says something is free. I've lived too long to think that anything is free, Stan.
So I just want to be clear, guys. Your owner's manual is pretty daggone good as far as flat tires and a lot of the other things, how your car works. I still have buttons on my Denali. I have no idea what they do. I know I'm supposed to know it all, but I'm afraid to touch some of them because if Megan's driving, I might just go through the sunroof and be gone. But truth be told, these companies know that their sales teams are the ones that are writing the maintenance for them. So transmission is in a sealed system. It doesn't have to be serviced for 100K. Simply not true. It's simply not true. If you're trying to keep the car, transmission fluid does not last and does not even come close to lasting 100K as far as will it keep your transmission going for many, many, many miles to come. Right. If it did, you've gotten a little lucky. You've driven a lot of highway mileage, and it's time to change it now, not tomorrow, not next week. But, you know, they have their we used to have their engineers who came up with a maintenance program all the way up until about 2000. Okay. And now it's the sales teams for every single manufacturer. I don't care if you drive, well, my Mercedes, yes, your Mercedes. Well, my Toyota, yes, your Toyota. My Lexus, I own one, yes, your Lexus. Yeah. They use now their sales teams because it will make them basically get lower pricing. It'll make them get more points on the how great your car is compared to other cars scale. Right? J.D. Powers, Car and Driver, all these other magazines and publications that do these testing say, oh, well, look, you know, they're pretty similar in fuel mileage. They're pretty similar in all of their creature comforts and everything they have. They're pretty similar on, you know, horsepower. Yep. Oh, look, we can make it look like it's better if we say you don't need your transmission service to ever. Look at that. Look, never. Yeah. And then the next year, they have so many issues with them. Customer complaints that next year now they're saying 30K again, and it's brake fluid, it's transmission fluid, it's coolant. You and I have talked about on the show about Asian Red, how great that's in a lot of Toyotas. Everybody's like, oh, it's the greatest coolant ever. It protects for like ever. It never goes bad, but it does get very corrosive within about a year. It's a 5-year coolant. We've never seen it make that long without being very corrosive on the acidic side. So a lot to know here, guys, but maintain your vehicles. Like the people you, if you have a great shop that you've been going to for a long time, and he's been maintaining your cars, and you're one of those people that has, you know, keeps cars until like the leather on the seats fall apart, and you don't know if a mouse ate it or if you just sat in it too long because it has so many miles on it.
As you say, wait a minute, Mr. Andrewski, you were looking directly at me through the microphone.
No,
I know what you're talking about. Yes, you are.
No, it'll be fine. No, so. Honestly, though, but guys, we talk about that and a lot more on the show tomorrow. There, you know, it's getting warm, and then it's going to be chilly again, then warm. We've got to keep our tires at a good pressure. Still waiting on the nitrogen debacle where they tested nitrogen with rubber. We have pulled and stopped doing that for the last about 24 months, waiting to see whether nitrogen, the nitrogen filling process and tanks that we have. The significance of nitrogen is if you have those little green caps, your tires aren't affected as much by the change of weather. And I love that because then you don't have to worry about your lights coming on telling you have a low tire pressure. Mm-hmm. However, there's been some research that they've affected and had issues with causing rubber to have issues. So we stopped as soon as we knew that was going on. The tests were supposed to be out February. We haven't seen anything, so I'm waiting still for that to come in. National Transportation Safety Board should be doing that, releasing that very soon. And we'll know. We'll know whether we go back to nitrogen or not. I think I'll read through the test, see what tests they did, and if I believe in them or not for our customers. Okay. But so much good information. You know, we talk about that in maintenance, and I just love doing it every Saturday with you, Jeff. I feel like it's springtime in March. Like, I'm ready to go.
You are wound up, my friend. You are ready. You are raring. I love this. This is going to be great fun, and we really do, all kidding aside, for everybody. We just have a great time sitting around and talking. We talk about cars. Sometimes it's the classic cars. We reminisce a little bit. You know, this always reminds me. I know you and I have chatted about this, Stan, but when we were little boys and we would have to go on long drives, right, Dad would be the one driving. And my dad always, because we would be going down the shore, we'd be going to Wildwood, New Jersey. We had to go over a bridge. He would roll down the window to throw the quarter in the bucket for that bridge 8 miles away because he was just so anxious to get there. And he didn't care about the two boys in the back whose heads were basically flying off their shoulders. And, but, you know, it was just great.
Yeah, toll booths. It's like $1,000 in tolls. Yeah,
that's right. Please. Yeah. Yeah, we had to. It was a quarter every 11 feet on the Jersey Turnpike.
I think my dad, like, got to the point where, now, this isn't a joke on alcoholism or anything, because he's alcoholic. He recovered, thank God, but before he passed. But I think he used to flick beer bottle caps into it and just keep going. I know I saw him do it. I didn't make it up. I watched him. guys, we're a little different. Don't do any of this.
No, don't do anything
we're telling you except for the car repair stuff. Just don't listen to us, please.
No, no, listen, but this is not advice. This is simply, these are a couple of guys reminiscing about the old days. That's all. And another thing, when I was a kid, Stan, we had these jalopies. And
we had a beat time. You know, my dad always had a beat time, which is why I didn't realize everywhere I went until about a year ago, I felt like I was pushing people all the time. And I'm like, why are they going so slow? And then I had a friend say, you know, everything's not an emergency. Maybe they're just riding somewhere. And I'm like, huh. I guess I could just ride to Kroger instead of trying to get there at record-breaking speed. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
So one other thing I want to mention. Listen, you know, we're super excited over at Heights Church.
Yep.
You guys all know I'm a Christian. If you're listening, Pastor Josh is like up there 24 hours a day. He's up there spackling. We're all doing stuff. So we're getting ready for the most unbelievable Easter service. You know that we've been blessed being able to buy the Ollie's there, that entire parking lot, that 11-acre piece of land. And we're going to have two amazing services on Easter. The chairs may or may not be there, but it'll be fine. We have cushions if they won't be. I mean, this is how close this is coming down to the wire, but we can seat 1,500 people per service now. We want to reach more people, help the community everywhere we can. We have Heights Grocery over there now. They're starting Heights Academy. You know, guys, this is what really built this country. It was a community of believers and people that really got together. And, you know, I got you, Jeff, as a man. I'm fortunate enough to have 5 or 10 other people I could call if I'm down one day or if I have something going on. You know, we all need that. Nobody is not – everybody's susceptible to some down days or some emotional things or bad things that happen in your life, and you just need others in your life. We were never supposed to do this alone. So I love the fact that Heights is out here trying to help the community, trying to build friendships. Iron sharpens iron for men and for women. I don't know what they sharpen for each other, but there's a lot of women's groups too at Heights. So just wanted to put that out there for Easter service. If you are looking for a church and you have not been involved in a church, the only thing Heights ask you is you just have a relationship with the Lord, the religion, you can check at the door. We just want you to have a relationship with your Savior and learn and be around other people that can help you through hard times, and you should not be able to, should not be trying to do this by yourself or alone.
I love it.
Bam. Drop the mic. Did I hit the time? Am I good?
Nice. You are good, my friend. You beat time, as the senior Mr. Andrewski would have said. So we'll chat tomorrow, my brother. That is Stan Andrewski. He really is my brother from another mother. During the week, you're going to find him at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue, the Lakeside section of Henrico. But Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., he is right here in the garage with you, helping you keep your car on the road. It is 4:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Well, I know Barney Miller wrote the theme, but you know who the real star of that show was. It wasn't just Bill Shatner. It was Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. Why do you always tell me your name? Is it so you won't forget?
Well, let me tell you something, soldier. I've learned from experience that people can't believe they're actually in the room with Denny Crane. They think it can't be true. So, I let them know it is true. I look them in the eye. Denny Crane. Gives them something to tell their grandkids. Denny Crane.
I'm sorry, I can sit and watch that show, and it doesn't even matter what the episode is. Although they did a few with Julie Bowen, as my youngest guy Joe will tell you. I mean, he used to tell people with Modern Family. It was one of our family shows, right? All the Katzes would get together. We watched Modern Family. We loved it. I love Julie Bowen. I just love Julie Bowen, and yes, she was in a few episodes of Boston Legal. And Joe, when he would see us watching Boston, oh, is your girlfriend on? Is that your girlfriend, Julie? I was like, well, no, but yeah. Anyway, I love Boston Legal. 5 seasons, and it is just so. Not true. You know, I have to explain to everybody. Sometimes I have to chuckle. I don't have any choice.
Jeremy does an amazing job of producing this here little show, keeping us at our firmly established level of mediocrity. I set the bar low so that I can hit it. But, you know, he will send me messages, and then I just go off into a fit of laughter because he's a very, very funny guy and does a great job producing. But anyway, I also, Jeremy, maybe you get an answer for this. I'm passing along in the 5 o'clock hour. What do they mean by photo sessions? Because I'm looking at the GalaxyCon website right now, and I don't want to send people there if it's not going to be able. I know tomorrow they're all sold out, so I'll have details in a moment. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Oh, my goodness. 503, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Oh, man, is it Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. We have so much good stuff to get to. We got a lot of... I get a lot of audio, a lot of sound that we're going to get to this hour. We've kind of carved out some time here. I am trying to figure out exactly how the GalaxyCon stuff works. Many years ago, it's got to be 6, 7, 8 years ago, I went to a Richmond GalaxyCon for, I think it was a few minutes. I just wanted to kind of see what it was like, and they had the... they had the Scooby-Doo van, you know, the Mystery Machine, and, I don't know, a couple of monster sort of things I thought were cool. But I didn't spend any real time there. I was kind of, I don't know if I was going one way or another, but I don't know. And this one, I'm looking at all the people that are going to be there at GalaxyCon. I'm thinking, man, there's some really cool people there. But I don't know how it works. So, like, I get the press credential, right, Germ? They're going to have a card that says press. Because I don't ever do press stuff. Because I just, for the most part, look, I don't consider myself part of the press. I know others might. But in this case, with GalaxyCon, look, we chatted with Bill Shatner the other day. I can call him Bill, by the way. I'm allowed to. He said I could call him Bill, so I'm calling him Bill. I would call him Denny Crane, but, you know, then I'd be crazy. Or would I? Well, anyway, I'd love to get a photo with Bill Shatner. And then they have these things, these photo sessions. So I'm not exactly sure how that works, if you got to sign up ahead of time or what you do. And then I thought, you know, some of these other guys I'd love to get some pics with just for our social media. So I'm trying to figure that out. By the way, look, if you have experience, if you've been to a lot of these GalaxyCons, you want to do me a favor, and honestly, it's just a real favor. Send me a text on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I just haven't done it this way. And here's the weird thing. I have been the guy with whom people wanted to take a picture. That I've done thousands of times. But I, you know, all these wrestling conventions, invariably, I get pulled in one way or another. There's an NWA table or a CWA table. And so they're like, all right, well, you were part of this team, or you were on this program, you were on this show. So you go and... you sit there, and people come along, and God bless them. People come along, and they want photos, they want autographs, and you have no idea how grateful I am. That's really cool. And when the book comes out, then that'll be something else that I'll be happy to, you know, to offer. But I've never been the guy on the other side. So I swear to you, I just don't know. Do I purchase these things? I actually don't mind purchasing them. You know, for some of these people, for some of them, not all of them, look, I still watch Blue's Clues with Julia, so I remember those guys, like, before they could shave, so it would be a little difficult for me to take a picture with them as fully grown men. I don't know, that'd be a little weird for me, but some of these other guys, Bill Shatner, whatever the photo thing is, I would pay for that. Germ, let me know, do I have to pay for a photo with Shatner? And I will, I don't have any problem with it, I love Shatner. I would pay for it, but I don't know. You get in a line. Is it in a room? What are they? Okay. All right. So I have to pay. All right. Well, fair enough. All right. Let me talk a little bit about some of the bigger events in the world. Believe it or not, the president and former President Trump not concerned with whether I am going to have a picture with Bill Shatner, but there are some other things Yeah, that is correct, Jerem. Those were the days before I had my classroom instruction on how to sign an autograph. Oh, it'd be so much better now. So much better. Let me give you a little piece. We played a little bit yesterday. Schmuck Schumer, who is, he's a disgrace. He is an absolute disgrace. A Shonda. A traitor. How he could turn his back on his fellow Jews. Because make no mistake, that's what he did. Make no mistake, that's what he did. Take a listen. Cut number one.
A new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. Of course, the United States cannot dictate the outcome of an election, nor should we try. That is for the Israeli public to decide.
Well, then here's an idea. Shut your freaking mouth. Shut your pie hole. Who the hell asked you? So let me see. We had all of the Russia, right? Because there were these baseless allegations. Well, you know, Russia's going to try and move the election for Trump. Oh, that's awful. We got to impeach everybody and investigate everybody. Now, you have a senator, and not just a senator. I mean, I get it. He's a slip and fall lawyer. He's like slipping Jimmy, but he's failed his way right to the top. But he's there on the floor of the U.S. Senate calling for a foreign leader, democratically elected. In fact, the only democracy in the Middle East, the only place that actually elects their leaders freely. And he's calling for him to be overthrown. But that's not the first time Schmuck Schumer has decided to speak out of a bodily orifice other than his mouth. Cut number two.
And they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Wow. So there he is making threats against members of the United States Supreme Court. Oh, that's just Chuck being Chuck. Every time one of these leftists says something offensive, awful, insulting, threatening, oh, that's just them. You know how that's just them. The same people who dreamt up the Russia collusion hoax, the same nonsense. They're the ones that say, oh, yeah, we should get rid of Netanyahu. Are you an Israeli citizen? No. Well, then shut up. Shut up. There are moments, I'm telling you, there are moments like this where I think to myself, I have to make Aliyah. I have to exercise my right of return as a Jew. That I should go live in Israel. Heidi, by the way, would go in a second. Heidi is down to two cities that she's okay with moving to. Two. They both start with T. One is Tel Aviv and the other one's Tampa. Why? Because they're fundamentally the same thing. They're beach towns, the weather's nice, there's really good food, and there's a little bit of nightlife. Hey, Jerm, you got, how about a little bit of Schmuck Schumer and Rachel Maddow? Now, I will remind everybody, this is an MSNBC clip. Sorry, but we have to do what we have to do. And yes, I do watch MSNBC so that you don't have to, and it is perfectly okay. You are welcome. Here we go.
Opportunity. So I was distraught right after the election. But I'm now actually invigorated by the challenge and our ability to succeed in this challenge.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Look. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. is taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know,
to?
But I, from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Do you think he has an agenda to try to dismantle parts of the intelligence community? I mean, this form of taunting hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Wow. Now, they call it the intelligence community. A lot of people call it deep state. A lot of people call it the swamp. And did you hear what he said? They'll get back at you. What does that mean? Aren't these like the same guys in the same vein as the old Bay of Pigs? I mean, that ought to terrify everybody. And Schmuck Schumer is totally okay with it. Well, you know, the intelligence community could do terrible things to it. You don't want to mess with them. He's a weasel. He's an absolute weasel. He represents everything that is wrong with New York City. Right? People have these perspectives of New York and New Yorkers. Many times it's true. Loudmouth, over the top, obnoxious, right? Those are all terms you've heard. And frankly, there are a lot of people like that. And then there are these visions of New Yorkers as sort of loudmouth, obnoxious, over the top, but sleazy. That is Schmuck Schumer to a T. It is 5:14, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. All right, now, that's one of those space song things. Right? I think, no, it is. I don't care if Barney Miller wrote it. That is one of those space movies. Look, there are a couple of things I don't do in films. Just so we're all very clear. I don't do spaceships. I don't do giant bugs. And I don't do horses. I'm not a big Western person. Darth Vader's theme. Yeah, all right. Well, was he the good guy or the bad guy? I don't remember. A couple of folks getting in on the text line. Now, somebody I'm pretty sure is once again drunk texting. And no, just not a Western sort of a guy. Sorry. You'll be hurt to hear this. I wasn't a John Wayne fan. No, I just thought John Wayne was always John Wayne, regardless of the character, because he always sounded the same and looked the same. Somebody I think is drunk texting, so I can't read those, but there are a couple that make sense. Jeff, Governor Youngkin has a lot of bills he needs to veto, especially the 25-plus gun control bills. Absolutely agree with you. And, you know, those gun bills got a little aid and comfort from the Republican who is supposed to be representing Petersburg. So probably should take a look at that, huh? Jeff, you're going to give the guy $247 in standstill. Is that what it is to get your photo taken with these guys? 200? I don't think so. I don't think it's that much, is it? I mean, if it's a lot of money, what are you going to do? But yeah, wow. All right, I do want to go to GalaxyCon to see some of this stuff. And you've got the opportunity. Now, tomorrow is positively, totally sold out. Just so you know, sold out. $100 for a photo with my phone. Do they give me a new phone with that? Well, anyway, our buddy Don out in Chesapeake sent me a note. I've got a good friend out there, Carrie Doherty. She does the morning show out like in Newport News, that area, Norfolk. And she's great. By the way, Germ, that's another one we're overdue for. We haven't had Carrie on forever. Get Carrie on for us. But apparently Carrie this morning said, Jeff, did you ever notice how democracy is at stake in Ukraine and America, but the left never mentions Israel in the same breath? You know, the only true democracy in the Middle East, Carrie Doherty. Yeah, Carrie's spot on. Carrie's absolutely spot on. We've got all these people shilling for Ukraine, and here you have ostensibly a leading American politician, American political leader, calling for the overthrow of a democratically elected prime minister in Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. How does that work? Craziness. All right, now I got to dive into the cost for GalaxyCon. I got the press pass, but I got to figure out this photo stuff. So you mean to tell me, Jeremy, even though Bill Shatner said right here on this program, drop by and see me, they want me to buy the photo? All right, I'm going to have to analyze this a little bit more. Now, we got a lot more to deal with, I promise you, not just my GalaxyCon issues. Today's the day. If you want to lock in your seat to join me to Australia, you simply call. I'm serious. You simply call right now, 800-383-3131. $300 deposit gets you on the trip to Australia. 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday, my friends. We have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. I've got a couple of other little snippets here I've got to share with you. And I want to remind you, the event tomorrow at GalaxyCon is sold out. Yeah. No, seriously, tomorrow is sold out. However, Sunday is still open. And there are all sorts of events that are available to you. So if you would like to go to GalaxyCon, then by all means, do that. But it's going to have to be on Sunday because tomorrow is sold out. There are all sorts of great people there. Okay, I got a little clarity here on getting information and doing stuff with the, with some of the celebrities there. All right, yeah. So hopefully I'll get a chance to go down there. That's all I'm saying. And I'll be happy to do it. I really would like to get a shot with Bill Shatner because I can call him Bill. And if you're going to the Bird Theater tonight, you can call him Bill. Don't call him Captain, what's his name? Don't do that.
Denny Crane.
Right. Denny Crane, you can call him. But you have to say it like that.
Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. You might be able to call him T.J. Hooker. Sergeant Hooker? Maybe. But Denny Crane? Absolutely. Denny Crane.
Denny Crane.
Right. Thank you. All right, let's get back to a few other items that, my goodness, we really do have to... we have to address some of the more serious things. I don't know why. It is Friday, so that's the way it's going. I want you to take a list. You know, PBS is, well, I mean, we all know what the BS and PBS stands for, but the P, I am thinking, is for propaganda. Take a listen, if you would, to cut number three.
So this is part of the problem we're running into again and again here, is a lot of people who are from countries that are not Latin American countries, from Russia, from India, a couple of guys I just met from Kazakhstan, they're staying in these hotels here, but they've basically been told by the smugglers who are moving them not to talk to anyone.
Smugglers like Mario. That's not his real name, and we agreed to protect his identity for fear of cartel retribution. But this former bank executive has worked in the human trafficking networks since 2020.
Most people will look at what you do and say that you are a smuggler, you are a trafficker. How do you describe what you do?
At the beginning, yes, I felt like a criminal. But as people have gotten to know me, and now with my clients, I identify as someone who makes other people's dreams come true.
Dreams come true? What kind of dreams?
I consider myself a facilitator of opportunities.
I consider myself the Super Bowl winning quarterback. Guess what? Neither one of those things is true. You're a smuggler. You're a despicable, low-life coyote. Here's the problem. Anybody notice what was missing from that story? Because it's all about the border. That's a big B. Border! What's missing? Biden, the other big B. That guy with the cartel has a job because of Joe Biden. That guy who is smuggling human beings, engaging in human trafficking, God only knows what's happening to these young girls, these young women that they are bringing into this country. They're being sold into the sex trade. White slavery is what it used to be called. They're being trafficked. The drugs, the fentanyl, my gosh, that almost pales in comparison. We're talking about human beings. And guys like that have jobs because of Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. Do you notice the language he adopted as well? Right out of the transgender playbook. I identify. I identify as one who fulfills dreams. Oh, okay. My bad. I thought you were a criminal human trafficker. Pfft, you know, tomato, tomato, I suppose. Okay. Can we hear the next one, please?
Tonight, Kamala Harris making history as the first vice president to visit a women's health clinic where abortions are provided. A sign of just how central this issue has become to the Biden campaign.
And walking through this clinic, that's what I saw. Are people who have dedicated their lives to the profession of providing health care in a safe place that gives people dignity. And I think we should all want that for each other.
21 states have banned or restricted access to abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The Minnesota Planned Parenthood Clinic Harris visited says they've seen a nearly 100% increase in patients coming in from other parts of the country.
How dare these elected leaders believe they are in a better position to tell women what they need, to tell women what is in their best interest. We have to be a nation that trusts women.
So it's the infanticide 24 tour is what you're saying. I never thought I'd live in a time that the vice president of the United States, and in this case, our not ready for primetime vice president of the United States, would travel to a place whose business is killing babies and provide speeches and support. The mind boggles at the possibilities. My hair hurts listening to her. How do you do that?
Well, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So,
wow. So that's how you kill the baby. Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't entirely clear because, you know, we didn't kill any of our babies. That's all. And God, I pray that nobody else is in that situation. I understand it's difficult. There are many women who find themselves in very difficult situations. They think that's an option. I got news for you. There are better options. There are better opportunities. There are so many good, decent people who would say to you, hey, I'm sorry you don't feel that you can raise that child. That's a really tough decision to make. We'll be happy to take care of that child for you. I mean, listen. I'm not going to use names later, but Heidi and I are dear friends with a couple of people who are parents. They're loving parents, a beautiful family that they have, and they've adopted both of their children. And I mean, I love them for that. It's amazing to me. And make no mistake, those children are going to have a beautiful life. They have a beautiful life. And the other option for the mothers in those cases would have been exactly that, going with Governor Goober and Vice President What's-Her-Face and going to one of these abortion mills. And they chose not to. And because of that, and it has to be a heart-wrenching decision. I understand that on some level. Heart-wrenching thing. Oh, my God, I got to give up my baby. Giving up your baby is far better than offing your baby. Your baby then has the opportunity to go and have a wonderful life. Think about that. People who choose to adopt a child. I mean, it's an absolutely beautiful thing. Heidi is forever talking about how we should, and I'm thinking, I can't, I'm tired. I got three. Now, I love my three, but, you know, I just literally stand in awe of people who are able to adopt a child and raise that baby. So please, I beg of you, you don't have to listen to Kamala Harris. She is a demented left-wing person, terrible person. The idea that she's having this infanticide tour 24 just disgusts me. CNN is rapidly trying to morph into MSNBC. Let me give you an example. They're chatting with, the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, I think, cut number five.
Senator Schumer said, the Senate Majority Leader, calling for new elections in Israel. Would that make a difference to you? Do you think it would make a difference who leads Israel in the type of war that would be prosecuted? And how much of a difference does that make to you that he specifically is calling for that?
You know, we have been sounding alarm about Benjamin Netanyahu for over two decades, knowing that he is a fascist and a war tyrant and a war criminal. And he has been one of the individuals who gloats about being able to stall peace and prevent the establishment of a Palestinian state. So certainly it makes a difference with who leads the Israeli government. But what's important is that while the elections could be called for, elections can go into process, that doesn't change what's happening on the ground today. This is why it's extremely important for President Biden to utilize the leverage that he currently has and restrict military aid and being forceful in his calls not for a temporary ceasefire, but a permanent and lasting ceasefire immediately. Those are the things that we're looking for from our president, because that can make the difference today. Each morning we wake up and what we find is a kill count. How many innocent men, women, and children had been killed by the Israeli government, by the IDF, utilizing American manufactured weapons? And we need to halt that immediately.
Do we?
Okay. You know, it's interesting. CNN, the talking head there, doesn't bother to challenge this guy on anything. And he's talking about, we need a permanent ceasefire. Well, Mr. Mayor, there was a permanent ceasefire. October the 6th, 2023, there was a permanent ceasefire in place between your friends in Hamas, the Jew-hater terrorists, and Israel. October the 6th, 2023, wasn't that long, about 150 days ago. And then on October the 7th, your friends in Hamas, the Jew-hating terrorists, entered Israel and slaughtered 1,300-plus innocent people, including a couple of hundred folks who were at a concert dedicated to having peace with people in Gaza. So don't put this on Bibi Netanyahu. Don't put it on the IDF. You put it where it belongs, on Hamas. And every time you stand up and support Hamas, you are standing against the innocent people that are under their thumb. That's the reality of it. And you don't like it. I get it. It's so much easier now. And let me tell you, we're seeing so much anti-Semitism that's been hidden for years. Man, it is coming to the surface. It is clear how many Jew haters there actually are. It's disappointing, but it's at least becoming clear. 544, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Self high five.
All right, little DDP action there. Hey, I think I straightened this all up with GalaxyCon, so now I understand the process. So I do think I'm going down to hang out with my buddy. Some of us get to call him Bill. Not everybody, but I get to call him Bill Shatner. And I'm looking at a photo. My buddy Mike Ivey from Journey's End Tattoo Studio in Palatine just posted. All I can say is part of his job, clearly, is fixing other people's work. He has a photo he put up. Now, it's a long time ago. It's like 10 years ago. But, man, it's just one of those things you'd think, yeah, I don't think you really want that. I don't think we, yeah, no. All right. Tomorrow, I keep forgetting this. Look, Style Weekly is having their Best of Richmond competition. And they have a radio show category, which I have already won. Why? I am the only person who does the radio show in the afternoon. I'm clearly the best afternoon radio show. John Reed is on the list. He does a morning show, so clearly he is the best morning radio show. And then Sam Newsman, a reliable media puppet, who has been reporting since Roswell, is the only one nominated who does a weekend show. So see, this is the way I look at it, because I just don't. I don't do competitions that John gets all excited. I mean, I don't think I'm sharing anything I'm not supposed to. He really does. But, you know, Sam Newsman has got this thing called Sam the Vote. So interesting. And I guess is Sam going to GalaxyCon? All right. That'll be exciting. I'll see if I run into him there. He's, you know, as puppets go, he's a good puppet. That's all I can say. Maybe. Maybe you might have something else to do. All right. So listen, we've been through a lot today. I know that. I know we've covered a lot of territory. Some of it a little more intense, a little more disturbing than some of the other stuff. But it has to be addressed. There are things we have to do. There are things we have to take a look at. And hopefully we are able to do that. Now,
Denny Crane.
Well, yeah, how else can you end it? Denny Crane, absolutely. I'm hoping
Denny Crane.
Yeah, Bill Shatner, work on my Denny Crane. But listen, I'll tell you what I want. I want for next week to be a wonderful, wonderful week for us. We got a lot of stuff that we are going to be dealing with next week for sure, especially since we got Politics and Pints coming up on Wednesday. Brian Kilmeade will be with us. We'll talk a little bit about it, and there you have it. Okay, I may or may not see you at GalaxyCon. I hope to see you. It should be a great deal of fun. It is Friday, so of course I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If you're here, Brakely Challenge simply means have yourself a great weekend. Since October the 7th, on Fridays, we end with Hatikvah, Hebrew for the hope. It is the national anthem of Israel.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.